Help if I put the right glasses on. All righty, let's observe a moment of silence at this time, please. Thank you. I now call for a motion to accept the agenda. If there are no comments otherwise.
So.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye. Aye. The agenda is accepted. Announcements. John, I believe you have an announcement you wish to make.
I just want to announce anybody that's got a concern with any street lights being out of order. I just want to mention that the person to call is PG&E, and you can call them at 1-800-743-5000, and the city of Morro Bay is actually not responsible for maintaining those. And you need to give PG&E the pole number, which is located 7 to 8 feet up from ground level, whether it's a wood or metal pole, and the street that is on, or the corner that it is on. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Let me ask you, can you repeat that phone number, please, one more time for the public?
1-800-743-5000, which is also 1-800-PGE-5000.
Very good. Excellent. Thank you. Written communications. Staff, do we have any written communications? All right. Now is the time for public comments and or presentations. And do we have any presentations? No. So anyone from the public who wishes to speak at this time, please give us your name. And you're allowed 3 minutes, give or take. Welcome, Richard.
My name is Richard Sadowski. I'm a citizen of North Morro Bay. Actually, I live on Java Street. This morning, I'm also a, just for those of you who don't know, I used to work for the Cayuga Sanitary District. I was on call 24/7 as a wastewater collection system operator. And I was one of the people that was in charge of taking the care of the Cayuga's main sanitary line that runs along North Main Street. This morning, about 9:30, there was an occurrence that occurred. A manhole lid blew off on Island Street, and the collection workers were called out, and also the sanitary system manager was called out, and the police were called out because it's obviously a safety hazard. I would like to explain to this board how an occurrence like that occurs. What happens is all of Cayucas' sewage gets pumped along this trunk line, and this trunk line is about a 15-inch line, I think, give or take. And when it reaches Avapal Creek, it has a dip. Now, what happens is at Lift Station 5, where all of Cayucas' sewage gets collected, when there's to fill up and when there is like a storm event or a high peak dry weather flow, like a lot of inflow at one time, there's sewage that gets, the low spot is on Nassau, and sewage spills occur regularly there. So what they did is they put a bolted manhole down there. Now what happens here is, if you have been down Main Street lately and how the whole road is settling down, when a surcharge of sewage comes in, it's under pressure and it's getting pushed, exfiltrated, out of this line in a severe enough point that it's causing, is going to cause a huge sinkhole. It's actually, the road's sinking there now. And just events like this with a manhole being blown off, it's an obvious that it's a problem. And I would suggest to the board here that we at least, you know, until we could get this exfiltration situation under control, they at least put a bolted down manhole down on Island Street. Now, I think they were supposed to do that, and that would be Cayucas would be the person responsible for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Anybody else wish to make a comment, please? Come forward. Welcome, Jim.
Good evening.
Is there going to be
you
a...
You want to give us your name, please?
Okay, my name is Jim Nance, resident of Morro Bay.
Thank you.
And I was wondering, is there going to be a public comment on the garbage tonight?
Yes.
Okay, that's when I speak then.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Is there anybody else who wishes to offer a public comment at this time? Good evening, Marla. Welcome.
Good evening, Chairman and Board. My name is Marla Dobreton. I'm a resident in North Morro Bay. I wanted to ask this board if Richard Stowski and I would be able to agendize a presentation on the Cleath Nitrate Report and an analysis that we have done, a Morro Basin Nitrate Report issues and concerns. We tried giving it at the city council, and the mayor suggested that this is the right place to start with that. And so I'm making that request.
Yes, you may.
Thank you.
And we can set it up for you at the next meeting if you'd like.
Okay, thanks.
I think. Hang on just a moment, okay. Please. Do we have a rough agenda on the next meeting?
I think we would want to see the presentation materials before they came through, so we'd want a little bit of a lead time, maybe a couple of weeks. So I would say July would be a better run.
No.
March was the date.
We've already been 6 weeks trying to present
okay,
this.
Okay, let me, Richard, let me, Marla, why not, do you have the material already presented?
Yes, we do, and we attempted to do that at Morro Bay City Council just through public comment, but we weren't given enough time to do that.
Do you have a copy that you could give staff, like, this coming week?
The presentation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Materials, why don't you do that, and I will make it a point to try and get you scheduled for the June meeting.
Yeah, and I might say that executive director of the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board, Mr. Roger Brick.
Morro Bay resident, fellow candidate. I come before you this evening with concern about the nitrate issue, and we all know that we have water issues in Morro Bay. I don't think anybody disputes that. However, I do want to voice my concern that I have a sneaking suspicion that the broken pipes below Main Street in North Morro Bay could be a culprit for the high nitrate levels in the well near Kaiser Park. There is the creek that runs down into the beach over there. It's a beautiful place near the new preserve next to the rock. And I see a lot of carcasses in the water. There was a time I was walking my dogs recently, like within the last 2 days, and I sent out an email with some photographs attached. There was a large concentration of maggots on the beach up and down the North Point area. I have a couple of really excellent photographs that'll kind of turn your stomach, but I did make sure to get the rock in the background so that I could get my bearings, because that's usually where I photograph the dead otters, and I always get the rock in the background so that when the arguments come, oh, that could have been anywhere. You know, when it comes to our volcano, you know, Bill Yates loves when I call it a volcano. But when it comes to our area, we know where our trouble spots lie. So I thank you for the opportunity to address you, and I hope that you'll take a close look at those broken pipes. You can go to joeyricano.com and scroll down to Morro Bay Crumbling Pipes. Click on it, and you'll be taken through the pipes on a video. And it's very obvious the roots coming through, the broken pipes, the cracks. And remember, that's an area where raw sewage is coming from Cayucas into Morro Bay. So whatever seeps out of those pipes there is raw sewage. It's not, you know, partially treated or whatever. It's raw, and it's high in nitrates, and I'm concerned. And I thank you for your continued excellent work on this issue, and thanks for bringing it on up here, and thank you for this opportunity.
You're very welcome, Joey. Take care. Okay. Any further comment from the public? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. And we now are at the consent calendar, and I asked for approval of the minutes from the last meeting. No, April 16th. If there are no corrections, I ask for approval.
I'm good with it.
All in favor accepting the minutes from April 16th? I did. All right. Director's report. Dylan?
Usually at this point, we turn over to you guys. Highlights, some things that we have going on. Roundabout project, we got a little bit of cleanup going up there. So you should see some more activity up there in, this next week. The fire station project, Fire Station 53, is cruising along pretty good. From the ARCO station, when the redesign came back in March, it had moved the project a little bit and now is touching onto the mobile station. So we're in the process of getting the appraisal done and getting some work done, working through the process with the owner to get permission to start construction there.
Are you continuing construction during the summer, or are you going to shut down on that till Labor Day?
Right now, we don't anticipate that we're going to kind of go through the summer. It really, we're held up until we get through the acquisition process. And so nobody knows how long that's going to be, so we don't know exactly where we're going to land. And once we're through that process, we'll take a look at it and probably take it to council for a decision. But I wouldn't anticipate that we're going to just kind of limp along through summer. I think we're going to clean it up for now and then come back.
Dylan, I have an add-on to that. When you say clean it up, what does that entail, since you're going to have to change things anyway once that property is kind of annexed or acquired?
Yeah, we're looking. There's a couple areas. The work that you've seen done there so far has largely been the utility work. So that was the work that we had to do, whether we did the roundabout project or not. But we've gotten through most of the utilities. So what we're talking about cleaning up, we've done really a lot of digging in front of the ARCO. And there's not much left there that was there originally. We kind of took out curb, sidewalk, everything. So we're talking about putting that back in, then doing a grind on some of the area right coming off of the bridge. That's where we're getting the complaints about, is sort of right as you come over. It's sort of wavy and bumpy right there. So we think we can grind it down and put some striping in, and then that'll get us through the summer. The date for that activity, that should be occurring in the next week or so.
Thank you.
Now, maybe I didn't hear everything you just said, but in terms of grinding it, but if we have to wait for to acquire that property from the ARCO station, so that means we're not going to, the city's not going to finish that. So we're going to have probably a ground down area for the summer months?
Correct. So, and the intent of grinding it would be to sort of, it's pretty bumpy in there right now. So the kind of the thought is, let's knock off the high points, and get it. It'll be a little coarser, but a lot more level of a surface so that it's passable and more comfortable for the summer months.
Anyone else?
Does the city use traffic guards or directors at really peak hours of use at that intersection, or has that happened in the past?
Crossing guards or traffic control? No, we rely on the signage out there, those traffic control devices. And during peak times, it does back up, and that's, you know, the point of the roundabout is to get that traffic free flowing, to get into and not back up onto the main line, the Caltrans facility, Highway 1 there. So, you know, it will continue to use those same traffic control devices that are existing out there. We're going to restripe crosswalks. The U-Haul will have the frontage improvements that we're going to put in there will be the permanent frontage improvements, so we don't have to go back in there, rip those out, and replace them. So they'll be the permanent ones that will be with the roundabout. Then we're also going to do some work at the median.
But the question I have is, what cost to the retailers will this entail?
My understanding from the IWMA is that they have received grant funding. I'm not sure of how many years that grant funding is for, whether it's 2 or 3 years. And the grant funding would fund the collection program at this point.
Is this a pilot program?
No, this is an ordinance for that's mandating this on those businesses that sell batteries and fluorescent tubes.
Okay. Thank you, Janine.
That's a county ordinance. It's already signed.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to, I was just curious as to how the finances on that one were working. Okay.
I had one last question about the desalination energy recovery facility. It suggests that there is an anticipated completion point in the future. Do you know when that may be?
Yeah, the completion point's really critical. We want to have it done in time for our November shutdown. Usually, our water supply is three sources: groundwater, desal plant, and then state water. Every year for 2 weeks, the state water shuts down, and so we rely heavily on those other two sources during that period of time. And so our goal would be to get that in and done before this November so that we have that ready to roar when the state water project shuts down.
I have another question. In the director's report, it lists right now we're at 35% of state water. Now, somewhere along the line, do we have a chart for a year and what our usage is throughout the year? If we're 30, when we say, what's that 35% mean?
That's a great question. The 35% state water project, the way that it works is you sign up, and the only thing you're guaranteed is that you're going to pay that bill. You're not actually guaranteed any water. So every year, they have a model that they run. They look at how much precipitation has fallen in the Sierras, and they determine how much water they think they can provide. In a 100% year, the state water project will provide 100% of the water that they plan for. To shore up your position, though, what we've done is we've actually purchased a drought buffer. So for our delivery purposes, we're actually protected down to about 35%. So what that means for us is during a 35% state water year, we actually get 100% of the water that we're contracted for. So we haven't seen the cut or the hit this year. We started out the year at 25%, and under that scenario, we were getting cut on how much state water we could get. But when it jumped up to 35, because we have a drought buffer, that then protected us, and we're getting 100% deliveries from Morro Bay.
Now, I guess what's going on with the desal project and with the nitrates in both valleys, then that'll play a key part if we ever go down to 25% again or below.
Correct. That's a large part of what's driving the energy recovery project is the fact that we're treating brackish water using a system that was designed to convert seawater. And so our system is overkill for the application that we're using it for right now. So we're actually putting in a system designed specifically for our application, as well as making our CY would anticipate that will happen. Maybe it's 5 years, maybe it's 20 years out, but at some point we probably will start running that a lot more frequently.
Last question, actually, regarding the collection system and some of the comments during the public comment period, do you have comments about the manhole in the section of Nassau and Maine, or Island in Maine, excuse me? And is there anything that we as a city need to respond to in that area as a maneuver to try to do everything we can to address this issue, which has been brought up before us multiple times now?
Sure. I think it's a multi-part question. I'll try to give you a multi-part answer. The event on Island and Main Street, I know there's a police report taken. It didn't look like there was a spill there. We did respond to that. Our workers will respond to anything that happens in Morro Bay, and often we actually respond to even into events in Cayucas. We lend aid to them. The line that actually had a manhole pull off of or push off of or a manhole missing from the line is in the Cayuga Sanitary Interceptor. So I know there was a police report taken. It was considered to be an act of vandalism, actually. Regarding the North Main Street trunk line, that's a line that we know we have problems with. A lot of the pictures when I did my presentation on the State of the Sewer were out of that line. We do have problems there, and that's a major project that we're starting rumbling on that. We are limited by staff time and availability. We're not a huge staff. I tell my loyal minions, but there aren't any. But we are working on that project, and I would anticipate sometime before we get into our wastewater treatment plant upgrade, the goal is to have that line done. We actually have focused more critically on the two projects that I would anticipate going into construction on the next year, the first one of those being Lift Station 2, and we think that'll go out this fall, and then Lift Station 3. It would be catastrophic to have a major failure in our Main Street line, but it would be worse to have one at a lift station. And so we're rebuilding the lift stations first, and then that's the next project that'll fall in line. So that's probably our number three priority right now, is that North Main Street trunk line.
Thanks. On that same subject, is our police department treating this as an act of vandalism, this manhole cover missing?
That's correct. I think there was a police report taken, and that's what it was considered, was an act of vandalism.
Is there any possibility of following through on Richard Sadowski's suggestion of bolting it? Does that happen? Is that necessary?
They can be bolted. There is an expense there, and there's a lot of manholes in the city. A lot of times, the reason that you would bolt them down is one is because of, in heavy events, some of those lines can surcharge. He was correct in talking about Nassau's their low point, so that's the point that they would spill at. So they've got that lid bolted, and that lets the system surcharge a little bit before it starts spilling. Bolting them down everywhere, some cities actually tack weld them in place, but then it makes it harder for the crews to get in there and work on them. Bolting them down, it's the same thing. You got to get out your screwdriver and kind of clean out the bolt holes sometimes. So you really don't bolt them down unless you need to.
Getting us in compliance with a recommendation in our North Coast Transit Plan. So that pass will become available for purchase on June 2nd. It will be effective June 13th through Labor Day, which is September 1st. The cost is $25. It would be for unlimited rides on Morro Bay Dial-A-Ride or Morro Bay Trolley during that time, and it's for youths up to and including the age of 18. And the passes can be purchased either at the transit office at 535 Harbor Street or from one of the transit drivers.
Excellent. Thank you, Janine.
I have a question. How is the city going to advertise that? Are we going to let the schools know?
The schools will know. We're going to have flyers up in the vehicles. We're going to have flyers to hand out to those youths that we currently transport to bring home to their parents. I'm going to have something put on Channel 20. Recreation and Parks has a email out system to those for like the kids camp program and other programs that get signed up for. So there's a lot of crossing there, and I'm going to ask them if they could send out the information that way as well. May or may not do an advertisement in the newspaper. We'll see what happens with just kind of the local stuff we've been doing.
Gene, would you afford us an announcement, like if there's something that's a little more festive at some point, whenever that's developed for the board, that announcement, so we could share it with groups that we're in touch with?
Certainly.
One more.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, Board. Just want to highlight two items. One is under local street maintenance. I have the date that they're going to be starting up on Elm Street as May 23rd. I was just contacted by the contractor, and he has to push that back. He forgot that it was Memorial Day weekend, and he doesn't want to have the street torn up for the entire weekend. A couple of his crew members are taking a long weekend there, so he'll be there Tuesday morning to start that work. And then just want to point out that last city council meeting, the city council approved the resolution of intention to abandon Palm Avenue between Walnut and Main, and the city council will be holding a public hearing on June 9th on that item. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Now moving on to new business, since we have no old business. First one up is the selection of board member to participate in Morro Valley Nitrate stakeholder discussions. Dylan, would you please elucidate on this subject for us?
You bet. actually wish Bill was here tonight, but he scheduled a dentist appointment to get out of it. So there you go.
Bless his heart.
He couldn't be here for this. I don't actually have a staff report on this. The purpose behind this, or the theory behind this, is at some point we think council's going to take action. The council has not taken action yet, so they haven't set up this board. They haven't sort of established a group, but we thought that in the future they probably would. And so what we would look for from you guys tonight is just, you know, is there an interest in having somebody from PWEB sit on that? And then a recommendation. So what we thought that this process would be a, sort of like a series of roundtable discussions, meeting with the interested parties there, those that will talk to us, the Farm Bureau, some of the other local groups, to see if we can get some improvement in the situation and some voluntary cooperation. And so these would be, I would anticipate to be sort of like an educational series and then sort of a workshop also as we go through, talk about the issues, and then see what solutions the stakeholders in the process can bring to the table.
How many members from PWEB are you indicating should be on the board? Or one, two?
I don't think we want to make a recommendation there. Council's ultimately going to decide if they want to set up a formal kind of group that would do this. They would ultimately decide how many members would sit on there from each of their boards if they wanted somebody from the boards. What we thought that we would do is just basically see if there was an interest and you know, kind of do like a roll call and who would be interested in it and what do you think that might, you would want that to look like. So I think the purpose for this meeting then is almost to advise council, maybe to take some notes to them so that as they set this up, they'll have some feedback from the PWEB board that this is what we would like to see and these are some of the players that we would like to have involved. But ultimately, the decision will be made by council.
Well, I think thanks to Noah Smuckler, PWEB has been in the forefront on the nitrate issue. And so definitely, I believe PWEB should be participating in this. Somebody from PWEB, if not one, maybe two. So at this point, since basically we are going to appoint someone that we would like to be representing us on that board, I throw it out to the board to see who would like to participate.
Well, I'd like to do it too.
Okay. And Noah?
Yes.
Bill and Noah.
Well, are we allowed to have two?
It'll depend on what council decides. But I think we could recommend that these are the two people that have an interest in being there. And I think I think they'll really take that and consider it. That these are the people that want to be there. I don't know ultimately how the group's going to look. Council's sort of going to shape that process. But I think it does have some value to say these are the guys that want to be there and that have an interest in being there. So I think two is fine.
Couldn't we make a suggestion? Maybe we have. Well, who knows how it's going to be? We put these two folks, you know, Bill and Noah, up there. But one could be on there, and we have an alternate. And I mean, I'm interested in it also. But if the, you know, so we all can't be on there. But these two go first, and then in which case we could make a recommendation to council, one person, if that's what they decide, and then we have an alternate, and we always have that set up.
All righty. I think based on what's been said so far, why don't we put Noah as our member and Bill as our alternate, since these two both requested participation. And if they allow two, then I would like Bill and Noah. But if they're only going to take one, then let's go with Noah, since Noah's been very heavily involved in the nitrate study, especially in the Chorro Valley. Is that all right with you, Noah?
Okay. As long as it's okay with Bill.
Bill, you sure? Speak up.
An expeditious way with this issue.
Second. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. So carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Last request, Dylan, if possible, as you receive information from the Water Board regarding their research and the development of who's participating with the waiver program, would you keep me in tune with different items of information there so we can be informed and up to date, and potentially Bill as well?
You bet.
Very good. Moving on. Thank you all. Well, I wasn't planning on a public comment on the nitrate issue because that was really just appointing a member to a roundtable discussion. It's up to the board. Would the board like to hear something from Marla? Sure. Fire away, Marla, please. Keep it down to 2 minutes if possible. Please.
Thank you. Marla Jo Bruton, North Morro Bay. The agenda items, selection of board member to participate in Morro Valley Nitrate Stakeholder Discussion. I believe that this nitrate contamination and spiking that they're talking about has to do with our city wells. So I think that the public that uses our city wells are stakeholders in this issue, very much stakeholders in this issue, and not just the farmers that one report has suggested is the responsible party for that problem. We don't believe that the nitrate matter issue has been scientifically looked at in the most efficient way, and that's what our nitrate study does. But what I'm asking is that we would like members of the general public to be on that board, and or we would like public hearings on this. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. As a suggestion, I would recommend that you make that same request to the City Council, since they are the body that will be making up the board. But it's a very good idea, so please follow through on that. Thank you, Marla. All righty, now let us get into the next item, which is... Dylan, you're getting out of here early?
Yeah, I've got to go.
Okay, well, have a good evening. Bon appetit. Item number B, consideration of approving an extension of the garbage, recycling, and green waste service franchise agreement with Morro Bay Garbage Service, yada, yada, yada. Janine, I'm going to turn this over to you.
Thank you. It is a long title, and actually there's two different things going on here with the staff report, and they both relate to the garbage recycling and Green Waste Services Franchise Agreement. The first is consideration of an extension to the existing agreement. This is due to the fact that the current agreement is going to be expiring at the end of this calendar year, and there are extension provisions allowed at the sole discretion of the city in the current agreement. The second is 36 months in the current agreement. And towards the end of 2007, the city received a letter from the garbage company wanting to sit down and talk about a longer-term franchise agreement, a 15-year franchise agreement, for a couple of different reasons. And the letter, actually the letter's not attached, but in the staff report, the first and the major kind of driving one is that the Cold Canyon landfill, which is owned by Waste Connections, who owns Morro Bay Garbage Service, is in the planning process for an expansion project that will provide additional capacity to the landfill. We'll also do some improvements to the construction and demolition recycling area and the curbside recycling area. And Tom Martin is here in the audience if there's some specific questions about the project at the landfill. In case any of the board members have questions about that. But that's one of the driving issues because they're needing to get financing for this project, and what the banks like to see is some long-term agreements that show commitment for tonnage so that there's some assurances that the loan repayment will be able to be made. One of the other changes that has been kind of going on with the agreement is deliveries of mulched green waste to the wastewater treatment plant, large quantities of this for the composting program that they have out there. And when this started, it was kind of an every now and then sort of delivery. But since it's been so successful, the treatment plant is needing more and more quantities, which is placing a much higher commitment from the landfill and from coastal roll-off to provide. And the garbage company is willing and agreeable to putting some an amendment to the existing agreement that would provide for those more frequent deliveries that are needed by the treatment plant for the composting program. One of the other items that the city would like to amend in the agreement is relating to, and I have the wrong title in the staff report, and I apologize for that, is relating to the Recycling Development Program and Administration Fee. I currently have that title as AB 939 fee. That's a separate thing. But this Recycling Development Program and Administration Fee is currently set at a flat rate of $20,000 per year. And what we would like to do is amend the agreement to have an annual CPI adjustment to that. This is something like the City of San Luis Obispo has that same thing in their agreement. And so this provides a little bit more funding every year to be able to use towards recycling programs or the administration. Yes?
How much of an increase are you asking for on that $20,000?
Well, it's a CPI adjustment. So what would happen is every year you would look at the CPI change, and if and whatever that percentage change is would be applied. So with regard to just the agreement portion of this item, staff is recommending that the council approve the 15-year extension for Morro Bay Garbage Service that's requested. And this is for a couple of reasons. We're not going to be foreseeing any major changes to how we do our services. When they come for annual rate adjustment applications, it would be less, a little bit less each year than if you're looking at writing that stuff off over a three-year period. So that's another reason why we're recommending that approval. The other item is relating to the base year rate adjustment application, and I don't know if you want to maybe deal with the contract term first, because depending on what recommendation to the council and what the council ultimately adopts has an effect on which rate of percentage increase is being requested here. For example, if the council were to adopt the 15-year extension, the rate increase request is 4.62%. If the council decides we don't want to do the 15-year agreement, then the rate increases to 5.58%. And that's because there's a change in the allowable operating profit percentage that's applied. So I don't know if you want to, as a board, take the contract term issue first or have me give the rest of the presentation for both items and take them both at the same time.
How does the board feel about that?
Well, on the one hand, it makes a little bit more sense in terms of that percentage. It's a little bit, it's less than a half a percentage point, but still, it's something over 15 years, and that would give everybody in town a consistent, they know what their garbage rates are going to be for that period of time. So that makes sense. But in terms of what's the allowable each year, as I was reading that, what's the allowable each year that the price in, that it can increase for operating costs?
The current rate setting methodology is that the council uses is from the City of San Luis Obispo, and I don't believe that there's a specific like cap on it. There's a process of information that's provided, the operating costs that are provided. There's a set amount for the allowable operating profit that can be collected for or from the garbage company. And that all goes into calculating what that increase is going to be.
No, okay, that makes perfect sense, because as I was reading it, I'm thinking, well, gosh, with fuel prices, their costs are going to be increasing much more than whatever they can probably recoup from a municipality.
And that's part of what you're seeing in the increase this year. If you look at last year's, I think it was almost 3%. This year it's a little bit higher than that, and one of the main reasons for that is the fuel prices have jumped dramatically.
Well, with that all in mind, I'm fine with it.
I have a couple of questions. Well, yes, because it's it has to do with the second half of the discussion.
Why don't we let her finish the second half before we get into this?
Sure, and then we could take public comment. Okay.
Why don't you go ahead and finish your presentation, and then we'll all just open it up and
to everything.
Take it that way. Thank
Certainly.
You.
In March of this year, the city received the base year rate adjustment application from the garbage company. pursuant to the agreement. As I mentioned already, the request is for either 4.62% base year rate adjustment application from the garbage company be approved. Going along with the recommendation from staff for the 15-year agreement, the increase would be at the 4.62%. So what I'd like to do is open it up to the board for any questions or comments and then for the public.
I do have one question, and I think this might help us all. The 5.58% increase, when does that kick in? I mean, if we accept 3 years, it's going to kick in. How about 5, 10, or does it?
Regardless of the length of the extension for the agreement, these rates would take effect July 1.
But the 5.58%.
It would take effect July 1, and it would be until the interim year rate adjustment application is submitted, and that would probably be late winter.
Let me rephrase the question because I'm not getting the answer. I'm not asking the question right, apparently. What you're saying is if we don't accept the 15 years, it then goes to 5.58%.
Yes, because
We say 10 years instead of 15 or 5 years instead of 15, does it still go to the 5.58%?
I would have to defer that to Tom Martin. I would think that it would change because there are certain costs that are involved that he's factored out over the 15 years, and if that changes to 10 years, that might have an impact.
Okay. And then last thing, just to as a clarification, on page 1 of 6, the 2008 base year rate adjustment application under single-family residential, this is at the 5.58%. You've got the difference at 43 cents all the way down, and I think that might be a clerical mistake because it. Yes, but isn't $8.18? It's increased to $8.64. That's higher than 43 cent increase, I think. Oh, thank you, Thomas. Huh. Okie dokie. I'll open it up for the board to have any questions of staff at the moment. Okay, why don't we open it up to the public then. Tom Martin, welcome.
My name is Tom Martin. I'm from the garbage company. To address your 43 cent issues, it's because you have a 100% variable rate that whether you are a small user, you pay 43 cents a gallon, or whether you are a large user, you pay 43 cents a gallon. So everybody is paying exactly the same rate for whatever they throw away, whether they're a family of six or a family of one. That's the way you made that decision to set your rates in the past. In answer to your question about the 5.58 versus the 4.62, if you grant a 15-year franchise agreement to the garbage company, because of the capital investment that the garbage company has in terms of a garbage truck costing $300,000, if you give me 15, so in general it's 5.58 unless you grant me a 15-year deal. And then that 5.58 happens just this year, and then a year from now we come back in and we do an interim year request. And we have to justify those costs, and it can be anywhere from 0 to 5 or 6%. If diesel fuel keeps doubling every 3 months, then granted it will be higher next time around. But
Tom, one of the things that kind of came to me at first when I was considering this was how you assess fees, and with the potential for us to be accepting more green waste from the collection area. How is that factored into the equation? Because we're probably going to be saving resources and trips for your green vehicles, your green waste vehicles. And I know there is you do calculations to incorporate that into our fees, but I think it would be beneficial for you to describe that. I noticed Grover Beach has significantly lower collection rates than Napomo. So that's important, I think, for the public to realize, is that we are credited for the limited amount of or the amount of effort that's required for our collection.
Yeah, you got to keep in mind that Grover Beach's rates are not 100% variable. In Grover Beach, it's $13 for the first can, $17 if you have a two can. I'm just doing this off the top of my head, but $25. It's not exactly 100% variable. In Grover Beach, we have more people in the two and three can structure because it's cheaper. In Morro Bay, because of the way you've priced it 100% variable, the majority of the people in Morro Bay are in the one can, which means they're putting more in the blue and more in the green than other people. So that if you can get down to the one can or the mini can rate, you're paying substantially less than other folks who, you know, choose to throw away two or three cans worth of stuff all the time. In terms of the green waste stuff, the plant can't take raw green waste off the curb. Unfortunately, it has to go to Cold Canyon, where we run it through the grinder and chip it down to, you know, almost a mulch, not quite compost, but it's ground up. Then we bring it back out to the plant, and then they mix that because they need the nitrogen levels for the wood, for the stuff coming off the water treatment plant. So you get the benefit because of the way you've set your rates up. And it's reflected in, you know, if you're one of the super recyclers that can get down to the 19-gallon can, you pay $8 a month, you know, $8.64.
Go ahead, Roger.
Tom, can I ask you to sit for just a moment, please? There's a member of the public, and I forgot to recognize him, because I would rather have you up to answer questions. And I believe Mr. Nance wanted to comment on this subject. He inferred that earlier. So please come forward, Jim. Sorry about that.
Hello, I'm Jim Nance from Morro Bay, citizen resident. And right now it looks like the garbage company is subsidized by people who don't put out a lot of garbage for collection every week, especially people that, like me, I don't put out garbage every week, and I still have to pay for that collection. The amount of the increase is five times that of the cost of living index. The orange bag was situation was very good for an awful lot of us in town here. Recycling is supposed to make a profit, not cost ratepayers, but I would like to know if he could address that and let us know if his recycling is actually saving anyone any money, where it goes, or if they just all wind up throwing it in with the rest. I recommend that the city get bids from other trash companies, and I think the PWAB should recommend that to the city council. And I think a 15-year contract is ridiculous. That's a long time. Maybe five at the most, but a yearly contract is about the only way to keep these guys under control. And another thing is you could cut out the middleman on the compost by just getting a chipper and picking it up ourselves and just taking it down and chipping it and taking it straight to the sewer plant. And the last thing is garbage has been mandatory in this town for quite a few years. And if you don't, I don't know if people at home know this, but if you don't pay your garbage bill, then the garbage company can take your property. Anyway, I would like you to really look over this, and they can actually put an attachment on your property. And that's thanks to one of our city councils. Anyway, I would like this PWAB to consider this, and especially like things that we can do to save money and not give them also not give them that 15-year contract. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Tom, thank you for being patient. Come on back, and if we have any questions, we'll start with Jane. If you have any questions of Tom?
No, I think I'll listen to the rest of you first. Thank you.
Okay. Bill, please.
Yeah, I'd like to see what everybody else has to say first, too.
Noah?
Sure.
Actually, it's interesting. Jim's comments did kind of resonate with me because I was thinking about how nice it would be if we could have a local, locally controlled and operated waste collection and management program. But it's obvious, too, with our budget issues and so on, and the amount of effort that it takes to be permitted to handle these materials, I don't think our city could handle the expense there. And as Janine pointed out, our contract with the hauler has been a good one so far. So that and my knowledge of Cold Canyon and the efforts that are taking place to take a leadership role in recycling and materials management, including the potential for composting, food waste composting as part of the green waste in the future. I'm comfortable with this, but I would like to consider the idea of a smaller option, a step down from the 19-gallon, and I'd be interested to hear Tom's response to that as we get through this.
I can address it now. 20% of the cost of collection is in disposal. 80% of the cost is in driving the truck, three trucks down the street to pick up in front of your house. So if you have only 6 gallons of green taken away at no additional fee, that's just, you know, that's part of that $8. And you're hard-pressed to even pay for the fuel at that rate.
Yeah, and it sounds to me, and I agree, that the concern is that we enter an agreement now, and 7-8 years down the road, we're seeing this continued trend with fuel costs going up, and we are locked in an agreement that's requiring local materials to be hauled to San Luis on a continued basis. And if that becomes cost prohibitive, how can we actually address that issue?
Yeah, I mean, we have a 15-year contract with you, and we've had 7-year contracts and 10-year contracts in the past. And whenever the city of Morro Bay has come forward and say, you know, we want to make this change, we've always been willing to sit down and talk to you about it. It does not, we would prefer to be able to drop the green waste over at the water treatment plant and not drive it all the way to Cold Canyon because it's a waste of fuel all the time. So if at some point in time the city gets into a budgetary position where they can afford to probably permit and buy a machine that will take care of that, we would love to be able to drop it there. So we're always open to changes, and you're not locking in to exactly what's in front of you today. As Janine said, you know, 3 years ago or 4 years ago, we went to waste wheelers because we used to do orange bins, and it got to be where people were recycling so much that we needed something bigger. So we made the change to waste wheelers. And we've made other changes in the past as we go. So we're always open to anything. And as new things come up in the industry, you know, if somebody comes up with a better way to do it, we're converting our fleet to CNG to try and get away from this diesel thing. We'll have 12 trucks in the fleet as of June, and all the truck purchases from here on out are going to be CNG to try and get out of this cycle.
And in many ways, it's unique to have a locally owned and operated garbage hauling company. I say locally, meaning within San Luis County. So I think that's something that should be recognized and that we'd be thankful for. That's probably as best we can do at the current time.
Any further questions? John?
I'm just wondering, I have the smallest can, and I don't even need to use that every week. Is there much of a demand for a every other week pickup if they could color code the lid somehow so they knew that? Or
The problem with that is that in order to pick up your neighbor who puts it out every week, I still have to drive past your house. So there is no cost savings other than that 20% margin that you're not putting out. And so the reality is no, it's not efficient because I have to drive three trucks down the street, every street, once a week, no matter what, whether you put it out or not. And unfortunately, that's just one of the nature of the beast.
I was going to ask you if biodiesel was going to be getting used at all, but CNG is a lot better. How many trucks are you going to try and switch over or replace
with
CNG?
We have 88 trucks in the fleet. We'll have 12 by June, and then we're getting 8 trucks the following year, and we're just going to keep buying CNG. We're investigating biodiesel right now because biodiesel only has an 80% component of diesel. It's now actually cheaper than diesel than it was a year ago. Yeah, a year ago it was 60 cents more expensive. Now it's 60 cents cheaper. And so we're talking about putting that in the bulk tank that we have, just because, again, to get away from the spiraling cost that appears to be driven more by speculators than it does by
reason. Those sort of areas, have you ever had normal residential neighbors team up to have one service?
If you have contiguous properties, you're allowed to share services. As long as it's four units or less is the rule. So, I mean, if two neighbors want to get together and share it, currently the law is written that if you have a water meter, you have to have service. Again, it's a function of 80% of the cost of is driving down the street. So if half the town combines services, half the revenue disappears, but I have exactly the same costs, which means rates then would go higher. But certainly, if neighbors want to combine, I don't think there's any provision in the, at least the municipal code, that would prevent it.
I think
the only caveat to that is I'm not going to split bill you. Somebody's going to have to work that out.
Okay, I have a couple of questions I'd like to address. Actually, Jim Nance's commentary. The orange bag, I think you've fairly well explained why we can't go that route anymore because of the automation.
Cheapest way to pick up garbage is with automated service.
Okay. And competitiveness. Are there any other garbage companies in the county that Morro Bay can realistically look at?
There are four companies over the hill, Paso Robles Waste, San Miguel Garbage, Mid-State, and Waste Management. Waste Management is the largest garbage company in the world. I'm not sure you want to entertain that effort. You've gone out to bid in the past, and you ended up with Rauco. Given the cost of diesel fuel, given the fact that we're about to invest $9 million in providing your disposal capacity for you, the banks want to get paid back on their $9 million. So if you look at the rates over the hill, you have an $8 a month rate. The rate for one can by the nearest competitor, which is Mid-State in Templeton, is $26 a month for one can. If that's the kind of competitiveness you want, then...
You've answered that question rather well, I think, and succinctly. Thank you. The contract, he's concerned about a 15. I think you explained that.
It's basically driven by what the bank
wants.
We get to stretch out the payments over 15 years, and the bank wants to know that they're going to get paid. To give you an example of what's happening, Chicago Grade is starting to lose some of their tonnage that's going to various recycling facilities and going to other places like Chem Waste over in the valley. And because they don't have any guaranteed waste stream, their tonnage keeps dropping and dropping, which means their revenue keeps dropping. Yet they still have to comply with, Title V and all the other things that are required, the Air Pollution Control District requirements, the lining requirements, the water quality requirements. And it becomes tougher and tougher. So he's a prime example of not having tied down your waste stream. And if we were talking about a $100,000 investment, you could probably go, Waste Connections is big enough to not worry about it. But when you're talking about $10 million, it's a lot of money.
Okay. Well, you've answered those questions. Thank you. Noah, did you have another comment or question you wanted to make?
Last one was Eddie.
If we're going to, is it 4.62% of $8 and...
818 would go to 856. So the difference there is 38 cents on the 4.62, whereas the other is 46. 46 versus 38 cents. The differential in the lowest can. Yeah, but the majority of your customers are either in the mini can or the economy size.
Right, so that's 46 cents per
month.
Month per bill.
Per bill.
Okay.
And we bill in dual month increments.
Right. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you. Does anybody else have questions of Tom?
I have a comment.
Question?
I have a comment.
Comment. Go ahead.
I remember in the past we've had rock solid recycling and all this. We tried us horsing around here. We had a terrible time with it. The service we've had has been
Very good. And for $8.56 a month here, somebody gets the trash taken away. You get a 96-gallon can of waste. Of recycling, and you get 96 gallons of yard waste gone. You know, that's pretty darn good, really. And we don't have to separate our recyclables like they do in some places. And it's a lot of work separating that stuff out someplace down the line. So, and when we get, when you think of somebody coming to the house, when you get somebody to come to the house to a plumber or to work on your refrigerator, you know, the, it starts at $60 or so before just to come. So the, I think the, you know, the cost is insignificant, really, for a good service.
Thank you, Bill.
Tom, could you briefly describe the savings that someone could, or someone or a group of people could receive if they're able to reduce the size of their trash, increase the size of their recycling, or green hauling?
Oh, yeah. If currently you're a two-can customer and you can go to a one-can position, you'd save $13.09 a month. You'd save half your garbage bill if you can just cut your trash in half. And if you look at the list of the things that are now recyclable, about the only things that are excluded are styrofoam and food waste. And literally all the junk mail that comes to your house, all the plastic bottles, all that stuff. I mean, you know, we have a family of four, and I don't put out my trash can but once every 3 weeks because it all goes in the blue or the green. So everybody should be able to get down to a 32-gallon at a minimum, and then the super recyclers can do 19 or less. It just takes some effort. I mean, you got to go through the process of you know, taking the cardboard out of the other stuff and throwing it in the blue bin and things like that. So you can literally cut your trash bill at least in half by just pursuing it a little better. And we're more than happy to mail out. If anybody has any issues with not knowing what's there, we'll have the supervisor come by and drop off one of the little lists for you and go through the process. Good to
Thank
hear.
You.
I'll let them know.
Thank you.
Last comment from me would be that the recycling guide is also available in the phone book, and is that continued?
Between pages 576 and 577 in the new Pac Bell directory, there's a tab that identifies it.
And it's also green-lined pages.
What do you need from us, Janine, as a board? What would you like? Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
What I'd like from the board tonight is to provide a recommendation to the City Council. On the first page of the staff report, there is the staff recommendation for this board. There's two items that the Public Works Advisory Board would be recommending the council to do. The first would be approving a 15-year extension of the current garbage recycling and green waste services franchise agreement, which would include the addition of the two amendments that are described in the staff report pertaining to the green waste deliveries to the wastewater treatment plant and the annual CPI adjustment to the recycling program development and administration fee. And just to note, because I didn't mention it in the staff report or in the presentation, with the extension of the agreement, all existing provisions that are in the agreement remain in effect. So these two addendums would be new to the agreement, but all other existing provisions would remain the same.
So there are no changes other than these two?
Other than these two, unless the council wants to add something or change something else. The second item would be recommending that the City Council adopt a resolution approving the Morro Bay Garbage Service base year rate adjustment application and the resulting rate schedule contained therein, which, if they adopt the 15-year extension, would be at the 4.62% increase.
Very good. Thank you. Would somebody like to make a motion?
Yeah, I move that we recommend to the council that we adopt Janine's recommendation.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Thank you very much. Tom, thank you. Thank you all. Now we're moving on to C, Stormwater Management Plan update. Rob, this is yours. Janine, are you leaving us? Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate your info and your input, and have a good evening. Rob, this is your item, and I believe you're going to be supported by Rachel from our planning department and Maris also from planning?
No, I'm an engineering tech.
Yes, I'm Rob Leivick, city engineer. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm here with Damaris Hansen, engineering tech, and Rachel Grossman, who are two of the prime movers on our revised stormwater plan for the city that we're submitting to the region board from the city of Morro Bay. You received tonight revised best management practice implementation tables. There was a copying error and some of the pages stuck together that were in your package. So we're going to go through a very brief presentation, if I can find it. Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board oversees the NPDS program, which is the National Pollution Discharge Elimination System. And the component of that program we're talking about is non-point source pollution, so runoff generated from rainfall events, stormwater is what we're talking about. The NPDS permit, general permit, requires that the city develop and implement a SWAMP, or another acronym for you all, a stormwater management plan. And the SWAMP, or stormwater management plan, needs to fulfill six minimum control measures. A little more background. The city originally submitted their permit by the deadline on October 27, 2003, after a couple previous meetings with the city council to review the plan. Unfortunately, the water board has yet to review the city's plan, and but regulations have changed in the preceding years, so we're needing to revise that permit even before it's been reviewed and resubmit a revised permit. Next slide, please. There are six minimum control measures that are required to be addressed in our stormwater management plan, and you have a corresponding six very large tables that go along with these minimum control measures. They include public education and outreach, public participation and involvement, illicit discharge detection and elimination, construction site runoff, post-construction stormwater management, and pollution prevention, good housekeeping for municipal operations. This is probably one of the more keener interests to the Public Works Advisory Board. This is how the city manages its own facilities in managing its runoff, our own corporation yard, our own construction operations that we do. So not only will the public have to be responsible for this, developers will have to be responsible for this, but city operations are also responsible for implementing these control measures. Next slide, please. Next slide talks about some additional requirements that weren't in the permit requirements in 2003. We received a letter from the regional board February 15th of this year, and gone to a few meetings with them, and these are the additional requirements. They're to maximize infiltration of clean stormwater and minimize the runoff rate and volume that leaves a site. It's also, you'll hear these buzzwords, hydro modification and low impact development. It's basically minimizing our impact with new and redevelopment on the site so that we maximize the minimum control measure tables. And each minimum control measure has best management practices to implement that measure. Next slide. And we come to the end of this very brief presentation and would be happy to entertain any questions, comments, concerns. Our plan is to take input at this meeting and up until the time that we have to resubmit this plan and incorporate that into our new stormwater plan. So we're bringing you the tables right now because that's really all we've synthesized in this new management plan. At Planning Commission, they'll see text and tables, and then at City Council, they'll see the revised draft stormwater plan. We're also sending notification out to stakeholders lists, so I invite the public, if they want to comment on this and want to know more, to contact the Public Services Department either via the phone at 772-6261. Give us a call, get your name on the stakeholders list. They can email, and I'm going to let Damaris take these emails. It's dhanson, D-H-A-N-S-O-N, at morrow-bay.ca.us. You can also find that listing in our website. We'll be notifying these stakeholders to get more input into our plan. So we have quite the list so far, and we'd like to add to that list.
Thank you, Rob. Let's, from the board, ask questions first before comments. So anybody, Jane, if you have any questions, now would be the time of staff to go ahead and ask.
I don't have any questions, and I did review the spreadsheets that we were given before, but I did notice there was quite a bit of information missing. I would go to read something, and then I turned the page, and it was gone. So if I'm to comment on this intelligently, it would have to be at the next meeting or after I've had a chance to take a look at it.
Okay, Bill. Any questions at this time?
Not at this point.
Noah? Questions at this time?
Yeah, and I would definitely agree with Jane a bit as far as the information that we received. But a couple of questions I had was, one, we talk about residential, commercial, industrial. I was wondering if agriculture was considered to be an area that we were going to or considered including.
We're only responsible for regulating those land uses within the city limits. So there is no, I don't believe there is any agricultural operations within the city limits that we'd be responsible for regulating.
But doesn't agricultural runoff come into the city limits?
Yes, but the city is not responsible for regulating that under this program.
That are used and incorporated within city operations, and I was curious to know what we have done to incorporate some of the new and emerging alternatives that are effective and so on. So I did talk with Mitch Freulicher of San Luis Paper Company, who is the representative for our area, and they are one of the major distributors of cleaning products and so on, and it was actually very reassuring to hear that our program here within Morro Bay is incorporating most of the alternative cleaning products and operational chemicals that that Slow Paper carries and is aware of. He said he works with Joe Woods pretty extensively on updating that, including things like high recycled content paper and so on, things that are effective and affordable but have a much better performance as far as their impact on the environment. So my question is that he did suggest maybe officializing that dialogue that he and Joe have to make sure that if Joe were to move on, that would be part of any position, is to occasionally semi-annually revisit, because there are many opportunities and emerging alternatives in this area that we would want to make sure we could incorporate as soon as possible. So that was his only suggestion. He felt like we were doing really well in that area, so that was good to hear. And my question would be, is that something that we would consider including here?
Yes, we can include that, you know, as we do our annual updates of the plan, that we, our annual reports to the regional board, that we look at alternative materials that are available for the things that we do here, not only, you know, cleaning, but we do a lot of other things besides cleaning. We do weed removal with some pesticides, too. We may want to look at, you know, which pesticides we're using and make sure that those are the appropriate and that we're applying them at the correct rate. All manner of chemicals and products that we use. Thank you.
You said may. You may.
That we may use?
Yes.
Sometimes we remove weeds with, if it's more efficient, with our prisoner crews and weed whacking. Sometimes we use pesticides because it's in a situation where we can't safely, on a slope where we can't have people walking this slope to get there, and we don't own a flail mower to do that work. So it's more efficient to do weed eradication with pesticides rather than leave it there or unsafely put somebody on the slope.
Thank you.
The intention was not that we might look at these things, but any manner of things that we use, we would look at all those chemicals.
John, questions?
I'm just wondering, during periods of wet weather, who of the city goes around and handles complaints by neighbors or whoever with a construction site runoff that's not being taken care of with straw rolls or whatever they should be using, and what the consequences are?
Currently, on-site construction is inspected by our building department. Building inspector would go around inspecting those sites. We do have an administrative citation process that it's an escalating fine system where it's first a letter to the person giving them warning and that they have to comply. And then if they don't comply, then it's the fines can escalate from there. That is a new program that was just passed by City Council last year. Also, any citizen can call the same number that I gave you to call on information. It's 772-6261. Report any site. We'll go out there, visit, have a conversation with the contractor, and get compliance with maintaining their erosion control. We had many of those calls last year, had quite a bit of success with some contractors, not a lot of success with some contractors.
Along those lines, from conversations in the past, I've heard that we do have a fine, a set of fines in the procedure to levy fines, but that is largely symbolic. Is that something that you would agree with, or do you think we're actually starting to get fines with teeth once we progress through the process?
The fines start at $100 a day and escalate to $500 a day for each occurrence. The goal is not to fine somebody. The goal is to get compliance with the regulations. So we're willing to work with somebody as long as they're working on their problem and not institute fines and not be confrontational with them. The goal is to get clean water running off the site. Not collecting fines is fine, but it doesn't always solve the problem. Beyond what the city can do, the regional board has much higher fines that they can level on a project. So we would bring in the regional board inspectors should we suffer very difficulties times dealing with contractors. But our goal, again, like I said, is not to levy fines, but to get compliance and get clean water leaving a site.
Bill, did you want to ask?
Yeah, do we have some provision in here? I'm looking for preventing the flaking of old paint from some of these old structures, a lot of which I presume is old enough to be lead paint. During a rainstorm, a lot of that old paint will flake off and become part of the runoff. And some of those are referred to as historical sites around here, and I call them something else. But anyway, you know.
I don't have a specific BMP for that to prevent paint other than repainting and sealing that structure. And Napomo. And Arroyo Grande. Thank you.
I have one question. I agree with Jane and Noah. There's a lot of information here, and I can appreciate all the work that you guys are doing to put it all together. Can you take us back or explain once again our timeline or the timeline that you're facing in terms of getting this okayed, implemented, or whatnot?
Sure. Let me get that page. It's one of the attachments that in the report that I have the stuff scattered all over my desk here. Ah, thank you. The report needs to be submitted to the Regional Water Quality Control Board by June 20th. We'll be going to Planning Commission next with the draft plan again on June the 2nd. The table from the regional boards.
Well, you're looking for that, Rob. I think it might be good to suggest to the public that if anyone out there in TV land is interested in this subject, an opportune time to speak on it will be at the next Planning Commission meeting. I would highly recommend, and those of this board who
June
are,
2nd.
June 2nd, yes, the next Planning Commission meeting.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because we're not going to be able to revisit this.
No.
If you're going to have to put it in the June 20th, so.
That must have been one of the pages that stuck together, because I do not see it in our staff report.
Well, I understand you're going to planning on June 2nd, you're going to the City Council on the 9th, and then you're going to give it to the Regional Water by the 20th.
Yes. And then the Regional Water Quality Control Board will review and comment, give it back to us within about 4 weeks. We'll go through that process probably a couple of times. They'll be holding their own set of stakeholders meetings that'll be posted on their website, and we'll link those on our website also. And for implementation, their goal is to get this implemented in about 38 weeks, which would put us in
first quarter of 2009.
First quarter 2009 is the goal, the regional board's goal, to get these plans implemented for the coastal communities.
Will PWEB be seeing this again when you get the revised, or is it just going to stay to the council level?
We can bring you back updates on this plan.
Could you please?
Yes, definitely.
And would we have opportunity to speak and or discuss?
Definitely. I don't know what ability we'll have with the regional board to make many modifications to it. I know that we'll be unable to make it less stringent than they want it. We may have an opportunity to make it more stringent. I do want to add one thing while I'm on that point. One of the minimum control measures they talk about is this hydromodification or low-impact development. The threshold that they set is 5,000 square feet of impervious surface for an interim control measure. At this point, we do not believe that that's the requirement that the regional board wanted to do was to infiltrate a lot of stormwater. Well, I think that's fine for a lot of areas in Morro Bay, except for the Embarcadero area. Infiltration does not really do anything in the Embarcadero. It would basically be a direct ocean discharge at that point. So the goal of infiltration is to use the soil to clean the water. well, there really is no soil column in those Embarcadero properties. There's, you know, some sand on top of a revetment there, and a lot of the properties are built on pilings out over the water. So there are other BMPs that would be more appropriate for that type of construction, and we've submitted that suggestion to the regional board for their review to get their concurrence with that, so we can include that in our plan, that retention or infiltration in the Embarcadero area is not an appropriate BMP, that some other, like a mechanical filter, a vortex separator, or a biofiltration swale would be a more appropriate BMP rather than infiltration there.
Retention, would that include rainwater catchment?
Yes, that would be the purpose of this retention is to infiltrate that water into the ground and not have it run off the site. The cistern might be an application for that, except that they're usually too small to make a difference in the amount of runoff. So it can help for storing rainwater for, you know, sort of replacing that domestic use, but it doesn't make a big impact in the amount of stormwater that leaves the site. So we still want somebody to do some sort of other BMP in that area to clean up the water before it discharges into the bay.
And where would Slow Green Build's peer review program fall into this? Is that something that's considered? I did not see them as part of our stakeholders or cited as a potential source for our program to include as far as training and opportunities for free resources as people learn and understand the different components to this. Do you have a recommendation where they would fit in?
We'll add Slow Green Build to our stakeholders list, and then also usually where they fall in is the peer review of construction plans. So that could be a added BMP that we would have in the construction side is to have them look at the types of BMPs that are being used. Most of these are going to be fairly prescriptive, though, and you will have to do this. You won't have a choice in doing it. We're going to be required that these plans be prepared by licensed professionals. Drainage calculations need to be prepared by a licensed civil engineer. So that'll ensure their consistency.
I would reiterate, please, to allow PWEB to have access to any further developments on this plan.
500 square foot of impervious area. Looking at retention for the areas of town that it makes sense to do retention in, not the Embarcadero area, to protect our not only water quality but water quantity control, so we're not overwhelming the pipes, our curbs and gutters, and just so that we have some base data so that when we, over the next 3 years, when we study these watersheds, we won't be playing so much catch-up.
What is it you would like from us tonight, please?
I realize that there's a lot of information to review, and you didn't have complete information. So if you would continue to look at it and provide your comments up and including to the time that we go to City Council. But the sooner the better. And you could email those comments to Damaris. We'll be forwarding those comments on to the Planning Commission. And, in fact, anybody out there that's watching that would like to comment on it, please contact us. Thank you.
Excellent. With that, let me take one last round of comments and or questions by the board. Matt, no. John, Noah, Bill, Jane, okay. That brings us to a conclusion on this. I applaud your efforts, and I applaud what you're doing, and I think down the road we'll all be beneficial, be a great benefit for all of us down the road. So keep up the good work, please, and when you have something new, let us know. You have people on this board who are highly interested and very well concerned. Thank you. And that brings us to future agenda items. Wait just a second, Bill, for a second. Let me just verify with Rob the next meeting. July, we have scheduled the North Main Street Class 2 bike lanes. Is that something that will be coming back to us?
Yes, I believe I can. Right now, we're in a push for the stormwater plan. Right. I think we had these items scheduled for June before, but...
Do you want to push that one back?
We could look at pushing, I think... council asked for that to come back fairly soon, so I'd like to keep it on July.
Very good.
Urban forestry management, adopt a tree program update might be a fairly brief update at that point, but I'd still like to keep that on the July agenda to give everybody an update on, you know, what we have or haven't been doing.
We're not looking at a lot of time with either one of those.
No, and that would be July, so that's 2 months out. We don't have anything set.
What about the North Main Street that we're keeping in June?
No, those both would go to July with the effort that we have to do for the stormwater plan. Okay. Just don't have the resources to take on, you know,
so
really.
Do we have any agenda for June?
We don't have an agenda for June other than the earlier suggestion.
Okay. Bill, what was your request, please?
Well, I would like to get started on something. Regarding satellite television
That's being looked at.
And we have it on a schedule?
No, not on the PWEB. It's being addressed. Let me put it that way. If we can bring it back to PWEB, I don't know if anything will be ready in June.
Do you expect us to actually discuss this item if there's work being done on it?
But I've been talking about this for over a year and haven't seen any movement yet.
You're not alone. I'm not sure. It's going, I'm not sure yet. But it'll come to PWEB, that's for sure. It starts here. I just have to get it to PWEB. But before we do that, anyway. You want that on next month, would you like?
Sure, we can.
Okay, why don't we put that on for next month?
What I can ask Janine to do is just bring in a quick update on that item and see what the... not so much the pros and cons are, but what the steps that would need to be taken, and if those are
and the current status.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, very good. We can allow that. I would also like to have that presentation by Marla Jo Breton and Richard Sadowski, since it looks like a light meeting in June. And I believe they're going to come in and give you a give you their material for review. And I would suggest at that time you let them know how long, because I forgot to tell them how long the presentation should be. It shouldn't be more than 15 minutes.
I think that's what we've stated in the past, is presentations should take about 15 minutes to do.
So if you could remind them of that when
okay.
they come in.
Okay. I'll relay that information to Mr. Boucher and Mr. Wade so they can make those arrangements.
Very good. What the board... Does that meet with the board's approval, having the presentation on the nitrate, Cleith? Okay. Anybody else have a future agenda item? John?
No.
Matt?
No.
Noah?
No, but I would like to confirm with Bill that for the July meeting, he was going to be talking to potentially Wally McRae and Roger Pelletier, see if they could be involved with the tree planting discussion. July.
We'll check on Roger's availability. He's no longer a city employee. He's retired.
Well, I was hoping Bill could use his charm to talk him in. Oh, you could find him, Bill.
So you guys are working on inviting them?
Yeah, we can contact Roger and Wally to see if they'd be willing to come to the meeting. Okay. Neither one of them are city employees, so...
That would be a courtesy.
We would invite them to the meeting, not direct them to come to the meeting.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Is there anything else that anybody wishes to state at this time about any subject?
Rob, can you let me know what's going on with the weed abatement possibilities on South Bay Boulevard? It's a nitpicky thing of mine.
Yeah, we looked at South Bay Boulevard, and the weeds aren't encroaching into the bike lane, and we trim mainly for safety issues. There's not a sight distance concern. So we'll continue to follow that policy that
said that wasn't allowed. So it would be interesting to have a review of what is acceptable in front of the public right-of-way area, in front of people's homes, and to have a brief discussion on that, if possible.
You're talking about encroachment, and that would probably require the city attorney's input.
I can give you some information on that just briefly. The pavers in question wanted to be used for a driveway approach. Currently, our standards require it to be asphalt or concrete for the driveway approach. Now, for a walkway that where sidewalks not required in pavers, that wouldn't be regulated by that driveway approach requirement. So the way it was presented to us was a driveway approach.
Anything else? I call for an adjournment. All in favor? Aye. We are officially adjourned until our next meeting, June 18th, here at the Vets Hall. Thank you all very much. Have a good evening.